Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
All over the country, armies of young people are blasting away at invaders from outer space and paying for the privilege. This machine kept kids mesmerized for hours, made teenage boys forget about girls, and even caused business executives to skip the three martini lunch.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always,
Ben Vanel here, Tommy. And rounding out the trio, we've got on the couch, as always.
As always, the best way to do things, Adam Knox. That's yay, right. Is my name.
Now,
I added the yay at the end. In honor of my favorite musician, Cat Stevens, who often says yay when he celebrates
things. He's happy. He's a happy guy.
Woo! What a song!
Well, your last record's gone gold. Yay!
Yay!
The father
actually learned a lesson from the son.
Oh. Yay!
Yay!
I'm happy about something that was announced, I think, in the past like 6 to 12 hours, 24 hours when this comes out, a special celebration of everyone's favorite villain?
Yep.
Antagonist?
At points, but maybe misunderstood soul.
I think, if you wanted to be generous, you'd say he was misunderstood.
We are 4 months in to the year of shadow, and they just let us know.
The year of Donald Trump, but based on what you guys were saying.
No.
You scallywag.
I hate that.
You're right, 4 months in to the year of shadow.
Yep.
We didn't even know.
We've just been going about our... I would have been doing everything differently so far if I'd known I was celebrating the Year of Shadow.
Sonic New Year's happens at a different time to like the calendar New Year.
Oh, sure.
It's weirdly
slow in that way.
Yeah. It goes Chinese.
Yep.
It goes...
Sonic.
Only really it goes Shadow. Like no, there is another one. There's another... I was reading something about this the other night. I can't remember what country, but they have a... They have a separate New Year's. But
I'm glad you took it all in when you were reading it. Yeah, I always do that where I'm like, I know I read something interesting and no one else will ever know what it was.
Yeah.
I think it's the Hebrew calendar. It's not on the Gregorian. And it's like year 8,000 or something.
Oh, I'll tell you what I did find out from, speaking of the calendar,
yes.
An interesting fact from, I went and saw, by the way, thank you to everyone who came down on Sunday in Melbourne to our first live show at the Comedy Festival.
Yes.
We had guest Greg Larson. We had a lot of fun. Yeah. And we got two more of them coming up this Sunday, April the 14th, and then the following Sunday, April the 21st, 3 p.m. at the Cooper's Inn.
Yeah.
This Sunday, we got guest Melanie Bracewell joining us.
Yes.
Thanks to everyone who came along. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Love to see you at one of the other ones that we have coming up. But I went and saw a comedy festival show by Harry Jun, who is on the ABC talking about video games in some capacity.
Yes.
I forget.
Bursting into other shows, tearing down the walls of Doctor Who. What's on ABC these days?
The news.
Yeah, I got a cue. What's the best video game? I'll take my A off the air.
They took him to task on Media Watch for claiming that it's not the Year of Shadow. But he's on,
called ABC Gamer.
Right, whatever the equivalent of Good Game or whatever it is now.
Yeah.
But he's on that, and I went and saw his show, and a lot of it is about growing up Korean and like facts about Korea, like the Korea that no one knows about. And so recently, people in Korea, everyone's age changed by up to about 2 years because...
What?
Because when you're born, they say that you're one... Because they apparently like they count the 9 months that you were in the womb.
Oh, okay.
And then they round that up. And then everyone's birthdays in Korea traditionally were on January 1, like a new year.
Oh.
So let's say you were born on December the 31st.
What a nightmare.
Guess what? On January 1, you're two, bitch.
Yeah.
Just a nightmare for presents.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I got to get everyone something.
Yeah. And the New Year's not for a couple of months, so at least that's something.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So apparently they only, like, they semi-recently, like, shifted to the whatever it's called, the system that we use here.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden heaps of people were like, oh, great, I'm 2 years younger now.
Shit. Which,
hey, on the other side of the pandemic, I'd love that because it feels like I should be 2 years younger because I did jack shit for those 2 years.
I'd take the opportunity and knock a couple of extra off as well, I think.
Yeah. Well, we're at it.
Yeah, everyone's a bit confused. I can probably get away with it during now.
It's like getting a haircut and being like, oh, and shave the beard as well.
Yeah.
You know what? Fucking chop it all off.
Yeah.
Do the
Let's
eyebrows.
Go bowling ball style.
Do the back of the neck.
I'm always tempted to do that. I'd love to have no hair for a while.
Yeah.
And just be able to slip and slide around, you know what I mean?
Okay, on your head.
Walking down the street like, whoo, as the wind goes over my head.
That, but it's a living hell.
Not if you're choosing to do it. Mm. A holiday is fun. Anywhere, but some places go on holiday there and people who live there are like, oh, well, you wouldn't love it if you lived here.
Well, yeah, that's I think that's most places, right?
Yeah,
if you're
everyone's
from there,
like,
get me out of here.
This place sucks.
Not Melbourne, though. I love Melbourne.
Nah.
But I do, like, just to clarify, I did receive that information about Korea in a stand-up comedy show. So there's every chance that old Harry was having a fucking lend. No. But,
have you not heard? Stand-up comedians are both the new rock stars and philosophers and journalists.
Mm. Mm.
So you got
poets.
A fucking... God is dead! Other news. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's the year of shadow. Yes.
This is news out of Sonic_Hedgehog, which is Sonic the Hedgehog's official Twitter.
Which, by the way... When you go to look up, because you told me about this and I went to find it and I put in twitter.com/SonicTheHedgehog, that account doesn't exist. So they could have just had @SonicTheHedgehog.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe it existed and they did something bad and it's been banned so no one can have it.
Oh,
now.
Maybe they told Greg Larson they were going to bash him with a... Sonic was going to bash him with a frying pan.
It is weird that they don't have that one, but it is also a weird way to go to anyone's Twitter by typing in the direct URL.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't have it on my phone.
Neopets.com. Neopets are back, apparently.
Yeah, okay. They're back and they're slightly different, but almost the same as well.
We'll probably ask Melanie about that on Sunday. But the Year of Shadow, or it's just Year of Shadow.
I believe,
they didn't have it.
_ Year of Shadow. Yeah.
It's Fearless Year of Shadow.
Mm.
That's what the branding is. I don't know why.
Yeah, it has like Fearless up the top and then they're just calling it Year of Shadow.
Which you look at it and it's like, oh, so is this an ad for a new game called Fearless or something?
Could be. I think they're doing a Shadow game at some point.
Well, there's that remake of Sonic Generations that's got Shadow in it.
Right.
So I think that's...
Oh, they added Shadow,
which they announced a little while ago. So that's obviously part of it.
Yes.
That's not only part of it, but as it stands at the moment... That seems to be 100% of the plans for the Year of Shadow.
Make the whole, constellation, what do you call it, like astrology thing. I could relate to it a lot more to if it were Sonic rules.
Oh, yeah.
Like I was absolutely born under the Big the Cat sign.
Yeah, okay.
A big fisherman, that's me.
Well, that shifts around as well. They, like a year or so ago, the star signs all kind of like, they will. I don't know what the ruling
Sonic
on this
star
was.
Signs or
no. Get your Ben. the normal zodiac.
Didn't they add a 13th?
People had the dates kind of like shifted. So people that have traditionally spent their whole life thinking they were Leos, all of a sudden they're a damn Virgo.
Right, cuspers. Because I, as far as I know, I'm still a Pisces. The most creative and magical one of the star signs.
Is it?
Apparently.
I'm a Pisces. I seize pie, I eat it.
Oh, shit.
I'm a Capricorn. I got Capricorn, I eat it. I'm a Virgo. I Virgo to the bar and get order food.
Yeah, I am a Virgo. Okay. I actually am a Virgo.
Right. I'm a Virgo
too. My constellation isn't a costume.
You got two Virgos on the couch here.
You're not a Virgo.
I'm a Virgo.
Are you?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Why were you so intent on him not being a Virgo?
I just forgot when his birthday was.
it's in the Virgo time.
Yeah, okay.
Ben.
Yeah,
it's September. You're remembering that
September,
from 8 seconds ago.
September.
It's in there. Yeah. The year of Shadow, though, more important, the last year I recall was the year of Luigi.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like 11 years ago.
Fuck.
And
that was, they added, they had that really cool, actually, DLC for the not great Mario, new Mario Brothers U.
New Super Luigi U.
Yeah, and it was like a little, it was one of the first kind of DLCs Nintendo ever did. It was like basically the whole game, but the levels all remixed and you played as Luigi and you had like a, you had like a pretty intense timer for them. It was kind of like a, I guess like a hard mode kind of.
I think also Luigi's Mansion 2 was that year. And so they had a couple of Luigi things and they went, that's a year.
They had a couple of things that they were already going to release.
Mm.
And I think there was maybe like a tennis game coming out and they were like, well, he's in that.
Crazy that the Wii U didn't sell gangbusters when right out the gate, they're like, it's the year of Luigi. Come on, everyone. Get yourselves a Wii U.
Yeah.
A new 2D Mario, a new version of those Mario games that you don't really like all that much. We got a new one of them.
The Year of Shadow was announced with a little video that made no sense of a teenage girl like getting a bike from a delivery van or something.
Yeah.
Or she, maybe she was moving. They must have been moving and she was writing in her journal like, I miss real friends, but there's some kids dirt biking out on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shadow shows up and he says, I'm cool just as I am or something like that.
Yeah, I'm enough just by myself. Or
something that. Yeah. And it makes no sense. Go
and
have a look at it.
She does some sick tricks on her bike.
Yeah.
And the neighborhood kids, like, I guess she's moved cities.
She's moved. Yeah.
And then the neighborhood. I thought of it as like a
delivery truck, but they were delivering their own possessions between two houses they moved from and to.
That's still, that counts. And then she writes new friends! Exclamation point.
But then they like turn into devils or something in the video.
I thought they
were already bullying her.
Right.
Was my read of it.
I think that she just became a cool devil as well.
Damn, that's sick.
And fit in with the neighborhood BMX bandits.
Is this an ad? It looks like it's an ad for like Pepsi or something.
It's an ad for the Year of Shadow. Yeah. Sorry, Year of Shadow.
You got to drop that year. There's bands that are like that. Everyone calls them the whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, it's Killers. Yeah. Or whatever it is. But the main thing will be the movie at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Which I think, again, Tommy style, I read an article and the information, no longer in my brain.
Great.
But it was something like the top three franchise is now Sonic is in there.
Whoa.
In top movie franchises.
Okay.
For top three. I think it's number three. And I don't remember the other two, but they were also like, it was like Marvel still.
Yeah. Probably Star Wars still?
No, it was something surprising.
Indiana Jones.
No.
Because when was the last
Star Wars? Fast and Furious?
Maybe.
That'd make sense. When was the last Star Wars movie in cinemas? It's
like been a 2017 while, right? Or something?
Yeah.
19 was the...
Oh, yeah. I never saw that third
Rise
one.
Of Skywalker. Yeah. Anyway, it's Year of Shadow. Everyone celebrate in your own way.
Yeah.
For those who do celebrate, we're a non-denominational mascot character podcast.
That's right.
Here.
There's that Knuckles Paramount Plus series is out soon, I think.
That's Knuckles is Idris Elba, right?
Yeah.
And he was in Sonic 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember anything about.
Can't recall that either.
We were going to go see it
I
at the cinema.
I may have not seen it, yeah.
We were going to go see it at the cinema to talk about it on the pod when it came out. And I had COVID that week.
No.
So I had to watch a like cam rip download of it. And the version of it that I had this, like it was this, I would have talked about it at the time. It had ads all the way through it from the people who'd like made the rip of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they were kind of edited in this way to make it look like they were like part of the film.
Oh, like the Star Wars thing that went around recently. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
I have seen this. It's fucking great. I don't know. Did we not talk about it?
I don't think so.
It's awesome.
It was in, was it Venezuela? I don't remember where.
Brazil or Venezuela? Yeah, one of those places.
It was somewhere in South America for
it
sure.
Was.
I don't remember where specifically. I apologize. It might have been Chile and I could just list out other countries. But or maybe I couldn't because of my education.
I was going to say, let's give it a crack.
Australia.
It's like, no. I don't remember the brand of beer, but it's like shots cut into Star Wars from the first time they aired it.
Yeah.
And it's like the bit where Obi-Wan like leans down to get the lightsaber out of the box that it's in his house. It cuts away to like he's reaching into an esky and pulls out a beer and it's like cerveza something.
It was not like a million miles away from cuts. That it was for like a it was basically that, but it was like but like matched into like a dodgy like cam rip version of the movie.
Wow.
And it was ads for like It was some like Indian bedding company or something. Right. So it would be like, yeah, mid scene, you would just be seeing like a shot of a phone, but then they'd done like a really good match of like Sonic's hand holding the phone.
Oh.
And on the phone, there's like the ad for like, yeah, this guy putting a fucking punt on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also like watching it being like, I got really sick when I had COVID that time. So just being in a fever already and watching this movie that's already like quite bizarre and no good. And then this stuff is being spliced in. And it honestly did take me a couple of beats to realize like, oh, this isn't part of the film. Like this is like whoever's uploaded this has chopped this in.
Hell yeah.
Oh boy.
I did see and I went to the movies and it was quite boring. But usually it's slots on the cam rips. Slots, slots, slots. That's ads. At least that's how I pronounce it.
Very nice.
Okay. Well.
It is though. It's like slots machines and they're like ding, yeah. ding, jackpot, jackpot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When I always watch cam rip movies all the time,
it's
every
the best
week.
Way to consume it. Yeah. If you're gonna watch it at home.
I don't know what either of you are talking about.
If you're gonna be watching a movie at home, you may as well watch it at home in a way that makes it feel like you're at the cinema.
Exactly. Exactly right. I couldn't agree more.
It's the most authentic way.
Yeah. So Nolan supports it. He said it's good.
It being the year of Shadow, there's some other Shadow has finally Sega has killed Nintendo, and Shadow's come through and destroyed the online services for the Wii U and the 3DS.
He pulled the plug.
Not the truth, but it's enough to slide in there. Mm-hmm. On Monday, the Wii U and the 3DS's online services both fucked off.
And they sort of said this a while ago, like they gave the date of when it was going to happen. Do you think in the office or wherever is in control of this, do you think there's any kind of pageantry around? You know, they all get everyone in the Nintendo office like gathers around to like flick the switch and turn off the server. They all kind of have a day to just like, don't worry about getting any work done. Pause your work on the Switch too. Let's all just sit around and share our favorite memories of the fantastic Wii U and 3DS online services.
I don't think that happens. I think someone clicks a mouse. But
no, there's a big cake. There's a big Wii U cake.
Yeah, and then throw it at the servers to smash them.
3DS cupcakes. It's all
yeah.
But in lieu of the Nintendo offices doing it, maybe we could just spend some time reminiscing. I love to do that.
Mm. Never had a Wii U.
There was one.
It's always great to catch up and just think about the old
time. The original, the first Super Mario Maker, there was, I was reading about this in the lead up to this being switched off. There was like a bit of a panic in the community of people that still engage with Super Mario Maker 1, because there was one course up on the servers.
They had a thing to complete all of the levels.
Yeah.
So they'd already been working on quite a lot of them for a bit. But yes,
there was one that had not been, that no one in the community had managed to beat yet.
Fuck. And except the creator, obviously.
Well, so one person had, so the creator ended up admitting they used like tool assisted stuff. So, because you've got to complete if you never played Super Mario Maker, you've got to complete the level yourself before it can be uploaded.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As a way of testing that it's completable. And they, to upload it, completed it using computer assistance.
Right.
Right.
So that's why it was so hard. And then this group had finished it using tools as well.
Mm-hmm.
To like go, well, we've technically ticked it off, but kept doing it. And yeah, like sort of right up against the wire, someone physically, humanly sat down and finished that level off. So
fuck.
Every Super Mario Maker level that ever got uploaded was completed by somebody at least once.
Fuck.
That's cool.
They pulled it off.
Yeah.
I loved the ticking clock of the like, the servers are going down. And, you know, there's always fan projects of like keeping the servers alive. I'm sure there'll be like still a community of like Splatoon 1 players and
right.
like Mario
already
Kart 8 on the original Wii U.
Mm.
I forget the name of it, but there is a pretend online service that people have set up that certain games work with already. So you can continue to play these in some way.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
There's
similar
ones
to
for like
Metal Gear Solid 4, you can play that through emulators. And
there's ones
like
for like Mario Kart DS and stuff that people get really attached to and then go like, nah, we're not moving on.
Mm.
But we're not upgrading.
And I didn't, and I sort of regret it now, but people were going back in and playing Splatoon 1 a bunch and, you know, seeing all those games off. And it had the same thing as, like, when Xbox Live, the original version, shut down. People were in Halo 2 for, like, ages after that.
Yeah.
If you just didn't leave the lobby, then it would kind of leave you logged in.
Yes.
And people were doing that with, like, Black Ops 2.
Right.
It was like 9 people just playing Black Ops 2, but then went like, actually, fuck this.
Yeah.
I believe. And it's so it's gone. No more 3DS or Wii U online services officially.
Yeah. So no online play and no e-store for either of them. So.
And they shut down the ability to buy stuff a little while ago.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Or so to add money.
It's yes, that's what it was, and you could log in through some fucking other website, and there was a big hullabaloo. But now we're fully in the secondhand physical game market for them.
Mm.
You can still download the stuff that you'd previously bought.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. So as long as you've got it tied to your account, it's on there.
That's there. You can still do that with the original Wii, I believe.
Yeah,
like it's that. I assume because there are other consumer protection laws around those things. That to abide by.
Fuck! If I got a Wii and logged in, I could play Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles if I wanted to. I could play what else would I have bought online on the Wii?
any
World of Goo?
What do you call it? The Nintendo, the emulated shit. You know.
Oh yeah,
what
virtual console. Virtual console. Yes. Yeah. I could play Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, hooray, yeah. Finally.
Yeah.
What were your favorite? Well, Tommy, since you had a Wii U and a 3DS.
Well, yeah.
What do you remember about online?
Pull one out for the two games from the Wii U that didn't end up ported onto the Switch. Because, I mean, that's the thing, right? It's gone, but there's very few things that didn't make their way over. One that
In some form or another, like Splatoon 1 and Super Smash Bros. For Wii U are technically different.
Yeah, that's
true.
Like,
Splatoon 1 more so. So, that there's stuff that's gone now. Mm.
Well, one thing I always loved that I kind of wish that they would revisit this kind of concept, Nintendo Land.
Mm.
The it was a pack-in? Yeah, it was a pack-in with the console, and it was this kind of like weird theme park kind of thing that was like not fully like Mario branded.
Right.
Like when you went into the little mini games, it would be like these little like robots that were like dressed up as Mario character. Like it had this kind of its own kind of weird aesthetic where you were in this like little theme park thing, and it was like a whole bunch of little mini games that used the second screen on the Wii U gamepad in different ways that were some of the only real applications that the Wii U gamepad second screen ever really had.
Right. It was a big part of when the Switch launched, how it was, Wii Sports on the Wii, it was Nintendo Land on the Wii U, these things that are like, look at what this can do.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then it was like 1-2 Switch.
And it was $80.
And you had to buy it separately and it wasn't.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Just didn't really have the same heart to it.
Mm. And it didn't have that like kind of interesting aesthetic to it, which like, Nintendo Land had like, all the little mini games were like themed around a different Nintendo IP. So you had like a game called Mario Chase, which was like basically Tiggy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would have some people on the screen trying to run away from someone who's it. And then the person who's trying to catch the people has the gamepad and can see the whole map. But the people on the screen can't see the map.
Right.
Mm. You had like an F-Zero thing where you had to like draw the course on the gamepad that you wanted to take.
Right.
You had like a Lynx bow and arrow shooting thing.
Oh, yeah.
You would use the screen to aim. You had a really cool little what are they called? There was like a Donkey Kong thing that was like on the gamepad, and you would sort of use it to like tilt. What are those? Those little like marble game where you like you drop a marble in and you're like
kind
flipping
of
little bumper.
Thing.
Yeah.
Marble Run, I think
that
was,
kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
You had one of them. It was really cool. It was, but again, like a lot of these things where they go, here's a bunch of cool ways of using the screen, and then the whole time you're thinking, well, surely they'll if you expanded on one of these and made like a fully featured game out of it, you could get something really cool out of it. But as it stands, that was all they ever really did with it.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, it was kind of the same with the Wii. Like, the sports games had some, like, different, bowling and the... But it ended up just being like, it's a sword.
Yeah, it's shake is a button, essentially, or you're using it as a pointer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And with the Wii U gamepad, like, the games that made more use of it, people liked less. Like, Star Fox Zero is one of the few games that didn't get a Switch port, because people were like, this sucks to control. And I don't know if I ever played that one.
Yeah, me
either. I didn't play Nintendo Land.
Do you remember when they announced it, the Wii U, one of the things in, like, the demo video was, like,
the
someone playing golf.
Yep.
And it was just like... So you would put the gamepad on the ground and the ball would be on that.
In their hand as the club. Yeah,
and it was like, what does this add?
Yeah.
How is this any different than just holding the Wii remote like a golf club?
Well, it turns out it isn't, so they never did it.
They literally never. And it's like, if you're putting that
people
in the announce
were, like,
video,
flinging ninja stars from the screen at things on the TV screen.
Right.
That was in the Nintendo Land.
Was it?
Okay. Yeah. Cool. That was one of the things in there. But yeah, like obviously that's never going to be ported because it relies on that second screen.
Totally. The Chasey one, it's like, oh, that's like asynchronous multiplayer, which has become huge in a different way, obviously. But it's like,
phones have replaced that thing usually where like stuff like the Jackbox games and things like that.
Among Us and
rely on people
various
having their own point of view on their phone, maybe connected to a common screen or shared.
Well, the best thing about the Wii, the most practical thing I think most people found with the Wii U was being able to play something on that second screen while someone was watching the TV, which is what the Switch turned into.
I was looking
and the PlayStation Portal, right?
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
I was looking at a thread someone made of, like, do you remember, was it called Miiverse? Where it was sort of like the forum that was built into the Wii U where people could leave comments about games and, like,
I think there was a was there not a game called Miiverse or no, that was Miitopia.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. I think it was the Miiverse.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which I think shut down years ago.
Yeah.
Already, yeah, that sounds right.
But they had made this, like, Twitter thread of the best comments from that, and a lot of them were just like, I hate my parents and whatever. And one of them was a kid being like, my mum thinks I'm at school, but I'm actually hiding in the garden with my Wii U gamepad.
Well, yeah, I'm sure I've
innovation.
Seen, I'm sure I've seen pictures of this
A-nox.
Online. Like, I'm sure this would have happened a bit. I've seen pictures of this of, like, someone traveling with their Wii U and just, like, I feel like I saw a meme of this of someone, like, at an airport with just, like, the console is, like, plugged in.
Ah, yes.
Because all you would need is that console, the power cord, and then the gamepad.
Right.
Which, like, yeah, pre-Switch, pre-being able to, like, take a console with you, it's like, that's not really a lot to lug around. Mm. And, like, you don't need to have it plugged into a you can just go straight off the gamepad once it's once it's all rigged up. So
yeah, it was great. I played, like, almost all of Super Mario 3D World.
Yeah,
that way.
Yeah, right.
Just on the gamepad, and
it
was, like, for the time, especially 2012, like, or 2011, even maybe it launched. I don't remember, but
living in a share house at the time too, just being like, oh, cool, I can play this stuff just in the living room. While
the speed of the video transfer and the quality of it was really impressive for the time.
Yeah, you could not get it very far from the console. Was its main thing? Like, you couldn't go in, like, yeah, depending on your house, obviously. It was pretty rare that you could get it, like, in another room, like, be in your bedroom. Like,
I could have it in the bedroom from the room where it was in, which was directly outside of my bedroom.
Right.
Mine was the next room over, and it would not reach.
Fuck.
Two rooms, you're dreaming.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I remember that being a big thing when it launched, like, it won't even make it to the fucking toilet. What's the point of this?
But
you know, as we've seen, great library on the Wii U because, you know, most of that stuff ended up being shuttled over to the Switch and then
that's
reviewing very well, even though it was released for the second
and
time.
Like, sort of pound for pound, like, they didn't put a lot out for it, but the stuff that they did, a lot of it was high quality. That's where I played Breath of the Wild, which still is one of the best games ever, and that was a Wii U game.
I guess I probably have played the best Wii U game.
You have. I mean, that's the thing. That was the big shame about it, was that they, with a lot of what they were making, they really were in their bag. Like, 3D World is still my favorite Mario.
Yep.
You know, Mario Kart 8 was just such a leap up. And
still one of the best-selling games consistently
every
week.
Yeah. The Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze is really good. Like, everything they were putting out was like...
Captain Toad.
Yep. They really got into this zone and, like... I've never really faulted them for moving that stuff over once they had a console that was actually selling numbers, because it was like, man, the library's all there ready to go and no one played any of this stuff. Like
Pikmin 3,
boom. Yeah. So yeah, now if you want to play any of that stuff and you don't have a Switch, if you're a purist and you want to play it in its original form, you're going to be looking at a sweet $350 for a copy of Nintendo Land on...
I think they're already pretty high up. Oof. But to be fair... The Wii U discs nice.
Oh, yeah.
Slightly more rounded on the edges than a normal disc. Ooh. So they always felt like this special disc. So
they are like they were like proprietary Nintendo.
Sort of. I think they were just like normal DVDs, but then they just would sand off the sharp edges.
They had a buffer in there.
That's special.
It was cool as hell. Like, they felt great.
Right.
I tell you what, as a weird little sensory ADD freak, popping one of them out for the first time, I was like, oh, this is the console for me. I'm going to have a good time popping these into the machine every time I get a new game.
I can't wait for it to be really popular and last for ages.
When Nintendo,
make it your whole identity.
Yeah.
When Nintendo were forced to move over to like disc hardware, they really went like, all right, but we're going to do it weird.
Yeah.
Those little tiny GameCube discs.
Oh, yeah.
They were
cool.
Sick.
They were really cool. No, don't really care for the Switch carts, but then...
Yeah.
I get very few of them. I get most things.
I do like that they taste bad.
Yeah.
Yes. That's really funny.
Yeah.
The fact that
the discs they tasted normal.
But you can't cram one of them down maybe a GameCube disc. But then they've got a hole in the middle. You'll just be walking around like, but you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I like the way the Switch cartridge like pops out.
Yeah.
When you push it down.
It's just like a little
SD card. That's a nice little feeling.
Yeah.
They're not special. But speaking of games being brought forward to the next console and things being lost to time when they shut down, Microsoft has set up a new division at Xbox that is specifically a game preservation area.
Mm.
Sarah Bond, who's one of
one of the 00 agents?
Yeah. The head executive there. VP? I don't know what that...
Oh, yeah, because she was part of the recent three-person apology.
No, we're looking to the future. We're not apologizing.
Or three-person explanation, yeah.
So it was a story about how, they've set up this internal sort of like game preservation / like future-proofing forwards compatibility arm, which is great.
Yeah.
Part of that is there was chat about how, again, their next console, they want it to be the biggest technological leap and da-da-da, but your old games, they'll be still there.
Because
we'll need them.
You've sent in a photo of your room as a resume to work in this division.
Yeah, if you need anyone with...
That's the dream, isn't it? It's like all of a sudden a job is basically invented that you realize you've been training for your entire life.
Yes.
Only now does this exist.
Yeah. That'll be
Except
handy.
All of my ideas are like, just buy a PlayStation 1.
And a cable.
And a weird cable and a thing to plug the cable into, and then also a weird thing to go inside of it so you use an SD card.
Mm.
What was
fired.
The first backwards compatible console?
Ooh, PS2?
Atari 5200 or something like that probably, because I think you could put 2600 cartridges in there.
I think you're right.
It'd be something around that era. Like, it's been forever.
Yeah,
it's funny now, every new thing that comes out, it's obviously with some companies more than others, but it becomes a question of like, I wonder if this is going to be, but like how, at a period it wasn't even a discussion. It was just like, you read about when the Super Nintendo was coming out, people are like, hang on, what? None of this other stuff? I need a new machine and then the old stuff doesn't work? What the fuck are you talking about?
Which is so weird because, you've moved on from vinyls to cassettes. You know what this is.
Yeah.
But
they, I guess at that point, late 80s?
Early 90s.
There hadn't been a ton of that yet, I guess.
CDs have been around for a while.
Cassette to CD, definitely. But I think maybe that's more of a Wii to Wii U thing of like the Nintendo, and then I get the Super Nintendo, great. So it's just like plays all the old games better, right?
I think a lot of that as well was like, what do you mean I have to buy a different type of bike as my kid's present? Because shouldn't the old bike work? It was like, because it was kids' presents.
Yeah.
They were like, what do you fucking mean?
And it's already like really expensive.
That's it too, yeah. And depending on when you got it and there wasn't the... same degree of information about when things are coming out. It's like, but I bought this a year ago, and now the new Mario won't run on it. What are you talking about?
Right,
telling
this
me these ducks are just going to get away with it. I can't hunt them on this one. Also, game preservation stuff, I guess, with the Apple App Store. They have been kind of again forced by the EU, like the USB-C change, to allow third-party storefronts. On phones, on their phones, in the App Store. And also now game emulation will be a part of that.
Which like, is huge.
Enormous. Yeah. And so at this point, it's still early on and I don't think any are up yet. So it's like the way they're talking about it is that you won't be able to put your own ROMs on it, blah, blah, blah. But of course they're saying that, and I think you will.
Right.
Like, they won't come with it, but like download VLC on an iPhone from the App Store, you can put your own MP4s on your phone and watch that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Well, you would know all about that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But it's all...
I'm a thief.
It's
I'm
all,
a scoundrel.
It's all coming together.
Yeah, I do
love the official line having a beat, like the Analog Pocket. When it launched, there truly was no way to get ROMs on it, and they were very like, this is not what this is for. Mm. But then they made a little tweak to the software or like the firmware, and all of a sudden someone went, boys, I've cracked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the way they always do it with stuff like that. Like, if you don't want – I'm trying to think of – I know there's an example I saw recently of like – I don't know. It's like IKEA's never going to be like, this is a great couch for fucking – or whatever, like, they're going to be like, this is sitting only.
Yeah, yeah, I can see them getting to that point, though.
With a little tweak to the firmware.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Pirates will come in and mod my couch.
But yeah, that would be cool, like, being able to, get your little, what are they called again? The controller
backbone?
Thing. Backbone?
Backbone. Backbone's one of them, yeah. There's a
have
few.
Your little backbone, have all your NES and SNES games just there on the phone ready to go.
I'm sure the emulators will do that thing too, like with Game Boy ones. And you can already, for years, you've been able to do custom firmware and side loading and shit on your phones.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can get the touchscreen Game Boy controls and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, not too shabby.
You guys going to go in? Because I don't have an iPhone anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I already can, I guess. I've got an Android.
I've tried, and you're not.
Yeah.
I've played every game I want to.
Sure.
That's not true, but like, I kinda it's have cool. Enough. There's just so many different ways to do
it.
Yeah.
And it's great to have them in every place you can.
Yep.
But I don't know if, we are specific. Same as like Resident Evil 4 is on iPhones now. I'm like, cool, but that's not.
Yeah, I have enough means now of playing old stuff across different things that, you know, like I love playing a Game Boy thing on the Analog Pocket, which feels like the original hardware, playing the Nintendo stuff like on the Switch Online, and you kind of like playing it natively on a console that to me feels like nice to hold and everything. It's like, there's just something about the phone thing, like, I just don't really play games. Like, and even traveling with the backbone, and then if I'm like on a train or whatever and thinking like, oh, I'd love to play Kirby, and like pulling my phone case off and attaching it, just, I don't know, it doesn't really appeal that
much. And like, oh, sick, I'll play, you know, Pokemon on my phone for a while. Fuck, my phone's dead. Where am I?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
where am I? That's what I use my phone for. I'm always just staring at the map to work out where I am.
I've lost some of my ability to self, like, well, I've got a great sense of direction. I can know which way to go.
Yes.
From anywhere you place me. If you ever kidnap me, the bag over the head's going to be useless.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Unless you spin me around three times or punch me once.
Yes.
But the ability to remember a set of directions
and go
somewhere unaided.
Yeah.
We were talking about this in Japan. The like, you go, okay, this place, we'll go here. And then, you know, it's kind of a bummer because you're just like, you know, you're following the directions on your phone, and you're not really taking in this country where like, when you used to travel, it would be like, go to the internet cafe, get on the maps, write your directions down, and then be like, okay, so I go down here, and then you probably get lost, but then you discover something cool.
You chuck the headphones in and have the thing tell you.
Oh,
20
yeah.
meters, turn left. Got you. And then a big computer's there to beat you up in the alleyway.
Yeah. Gosh,
we were working
together. Scary stuff.
Yeah, like, it's coming. The robo-pocalypse is coming.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is once again brought to you by our close personal friends over at Manscaped.
My best friend Manscaped makes great products to use if you need to groom.
Yeah, Manscaped, they're my girlfriend. That they live in Canada.
you wouldn't know them. They go to a different school.
And she ensures that my balls and other areas of hair on my body Always nicely groomed and trimmed.
The products from Manscaped have genuinely been very high quality and useful for me. Like, I actually recommend them. If you need something to keep that pesky hair in places where you want it either neater or gone, I genuinely just wouldn't recommend something else, really.
They're the best ones for your ears, your nose, your beard.
I've been using that Weed Whacker 2.0 on the old nose hairs. Mm-hmm. Not the ears yet. I'm sure it's coming.
We can tell. the beard hedger is great.
Yes. Like
the settings and the attachments and stuff work really well.
It's very precise, the settings. It's very handy.
They.
I'm going to go office style soon. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, do you?
I'm going to do a little bit of trimming myself.
Interesting.
Going to start looking into cameras. I've been...
sighing.
They make for good gifts that you can buy for somebody else, as is the nature of a gift. And if you were to do so, I would recommend that when you go to manscaped.com and you make your purchase, you use the code FILTHY, and that will net you 20% off and free shipping.
Holy macaroni. Yeah. A product that you definitely just should buy anyway, and we actually heartily recommend. A discount and free shipping? Why? You'd be crazy not to go to manscaped.com and use the code FILTHY.
It's an embarrassment of riches. I am ashamed of these riches. Manscaped.com, code FILTHY, 20% off, free shipping. Speaking of scary things and getting around.
Okay.
Public transport gets you around.
Absolutely it does.
What if public transport was scary?
It already is, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Get on it after like 11 p.m.
Adam, you've gotten the Frankston line enough. You should know.
Yeah. You scare a lot of people on that line.
I actually run Frankston. If you've ever seen that video of that kid. I played a scary train game.
Hell yeah.
Well, I played a fucking direct, straight up one-to-one, not literally, but knockoff.
A knockoff.
Of The Exit 8.
Yeah.
Which we both enjoyed.
Yes, very much so.
Shinkansen Zero. Is that how you say the Tokyo train?
Absolutely it is.
Fantastic. Sure
is. Yeah. We got a regular weeb over here.
That's me.
By the way, we were...
Can't spell weeb without weeb.
Talking about like...
As in us.
Yes.
Walking around and saying, Ben, should we go to Shibuya today? And then I was... I caught up with a listener of the show, Henry. Hello, Henry. Over in... And he's lived there for a little while and he was pronouncing it Shibuya.
Shibuya.
But like just realizing I've been, like, I thought I was saying it right, but realizing I've been putting a real Aussie twang on there.
Oh, brother.
On the fucking Shinkansen.
I'm going to Japan.
Arigato.
Shinkansen Zero is made by, I forget the name, but it seemed as though it was some either person or studio that makes sort of like... creative projects and art games and stuff, because it just had in brackets like a this product. You know.
Oh yeah.
I don't remember what that is though. Sorry, but it's again called Shinkansen Zero, and it is. If you didn't hear us talk about the Exit 8, don't know what that is. You in this game are planted on an unfamiliar train carriage, and you have to walk down that train carriage. First time through, a little spooky boy is like, "Oh, you're looping as well, are you?" Well, that's what happens here, and you've got to. If you go through the train carriage and it loops every time you go through, if you notice an anomaly, which the game won't tell you what the anomalies are, but if something's out of the ordinary, then you turn around, go back the other way. If everything's normal, then you go straight ahead. You've got to do it 8 times.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's this.
Yeah.
It's the same exact thing as the Exit 8 with very similar types of things that are happening spookily in the anomaly worlds.
Yep.
You've got two carriages though, so you've got to do it one set of times and then there's a second set of times to do it.
Okay.
There's like a little tiny bit more of a story in this one, I suppose.
Oh yeah. I wouldn't have minded that in the Exit 8.
It's light.
Yeah.
But it's there.
Yep.
And there's a much more direct, like, by the way, there's a ghost on this train.
Oh, sort of.
Okay.
So, some examples, and if you want to play it, the examples are the only thing. Once you know what you're looking for, the game does become easier because you can look in specific places.
Yep.
Once you've seen the anomalies a few times and maybe failed and it resets, you'll be looking in a set number of places really to see, oh, there's this one.
Yeah.
Okay, this thing's happening. Some of them are very obvious. Some of them are a bit more subtle than others. The obvious ones tend to be obvious for the sake of giving you a shock.
Yeah.
Giving you a fright.
Yes.
But
Jesus.
A lot like that, but I knew you were going to do that, so that was obvious.
I had no idea.
My
really.
Fiance had hiccups the other night, and I was like, license to spook. Music to my ears.
You're marrying Tommy.
Just tapping the ring on her finger. Oh, God.
I love when
I'm having a panic attack instead of hiccups.
Someone will be like, I've got hiccups, but the scaring doesn't help, and it's like, oh. You're not going to stop.
Oh, doesn't it? You just haven't been scared properly.
Yeah.
So
did this one scare you? Did this one get you?
Less. There's less atmosphere than the Exit 8. Right. I think there's more direct scary stuff, but there's less of the
like mystery and
the sound isn't quite as good. The atmosphere that was dripping from the Exit 8 isn't there quite as much in this one for whatever reason.
Interesting.
Well, it's hard to get scared when you're busy memorizing the timetable.
Yeah.
I suppose it would be.
Yeah. You'd be distracted by, yeah.
Let me give you some examples that aren't in the game.
Yeah. Okay. You're just awesome. Making your own game now.
Well, love this kind of review.
Light up the Wii U eShop.
Imagine if Mario, like, turned into a crocodile.
Yeah, Mario doesn't. He crouches. It's the opposite of what. Well,
Croc Mario would be sick. Yeah. I would love that for the next one.
Yeah. Maybe they're going to steal Adam's examples for the next Shinkansen 1. Yeah.
The sequel to Shinkansen 0, Shinkansen 1.
Yeah. It's stuff like. If you were to walk it, so the normal carriage, I'll tell you this.
Okay, mm-hmm. Let's set the scene.
You walk in, there's like a guy, like a suit business guy, mm-hmm. asleep up against the window. He's got a briefcase next to him. You walk further down, there's like the mother of the little boy who's like, she won't wake up, or like the mm-hmm. sister or something. Mm-hmm. I think it might be his sister. She's asleep too. There's like a suitcase up in the things. There's little bits and pieces around the carriage like that that are sort of notable things that you'll be paying attention to. And then if you go through, the things can be as big and noticeable as like if a pterodactyl flies at you, then you've got to turn around.
Yep.
Or as small as if you walk down the corridor and in the seat pocket there's a little demon.
Yeah, okay.
And you might not notice.
Yep.
So you're really like taking your time and looking in every little bit to find the thing that's different.
So the thing that really worked in the Exit 8 was that. Yeah. That you're looking, and so the act of constantly looking, and that some of the anomalies maybe come later in your time in that area. So mm-hmm. like you might be looking at stuff and then you hear a door open or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And it was the amount of attention you had to pay meant that you were so focused on it that the spooky things would scare you.
Yeah.
This just doesn't have that as much for some reason. I think because the things it's doing as the anomalies either generally aren't as creative as the first one, partly because the first one, the completely different game made by a different person.
This ripped off. Yep.
But they're pretty directly, I'll say, inspired by that one.
This will be played in a court case about the idea being ripped off. If this podcaster can make the mistake of thinking that it's a sequel.
Well, it's just straight up.
It is the same thing.
Yeah.
It is doing exactly the same thing. And I don't know if the Exit 8 was the first to do it, to be fair.
Sure.
I hadn't seen it before that.
This
just doesn't quite have that same spark, partly because it's my second cheeseburger. Yep. So I'm fucking cheese and meat at the same time with bread.
I just noticed there's a pickle in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an anomaly. It's okay though. I played it for less than an hour and was done with it.
Sure.
And it's like $10.
Yeah. Is this on Steam, like recent release kind of situation? I feel like
I think so.
I had also seen it without you mentioning it as well. So yeah.
I think because of the popularity of the Exit 8 that sort of took off not that long ago, this is getting noticed for similar reasons. Like, it's okay. And if you like the Exit 8, I enjoyed playing this. And it does some stuff that's different from it where I was like, oh, that's cool. But just not quite as much of a spark as the Exit 8 had. But if you liked that, this is, you know, a bit more of that same flavor, but maybe not done quite as well.
Because the Exit 8 also is like, you could finish it in an hour. You could finish it in less than an hour.
Right.
Yeah, and I didn't feel the urge with this one, I guess I'll say, to go back in and see all of the anomalies. Like, yeah. I did that with the Exit 8 because I found them interesting enough that I wanted to just sort of see everything they'd thought of.
Mm.
And this one, I didn't bother doing that.
Yeah, right.
So it's okay, and it's more of what I liked about the Exit 8, but yeah, I don't know. I would say if you've not played either, go play the Exit 8.
Yes.
If you really like the Exit 8, then you'll get something out of this.
Sure. Cool. Well, speaking of transport.
Yeah.
Tommy and I played the demo. I played the demo.
I've played a bit more of the full game.
Whoa. Of a little thing called
Yellow Taxi Goes Vroom.
So interesting name.
Yep.
Off the bat. This is basically a Nintendo 64 style 3D platformer.
Yeah, so it's kind of billed as a throwback to the collectathon Nintendo 64 era of game. You control a little taxi.
Yep.
It's kind of less about the. I think when people make those throwback kind of games now, they tend to do it in the way of having the kind of like big. The levels being these like big sprawling worlds with lots of stuff going on in them and like little hidden areas to get up to. This is a little bit more of like it's a collectathon, but in a bit more of like a segmented like Super Mario 3D worlds level kind of design.
Yeah.
Like it's a bit more platformery and a bit less like explore every nook and cranny of this.
Yeah.
And it's got like a. When you go into the map for the level, it kind of shows you like each level has kind of these offshoot bits to it. Like it'll show you this kind of like almost like you're hunting the Zodiac Killer level of
like a mind map. Yeah.
Here's the level, and then there's like three branching bits off this level, and then in each of them there's two more branching bits. So you can get like pretty deep into all these different sub levels.
Yeah.
Which I'm and it controls it's not like a traditional platformer in that you're like stick to run around. You're using the left and right triggers to accelerate and brake and decelerate. You've got a button that you can hold to do a kind of like a dash that kind of charges up. And then there's no jump button, but if you, like a couple of levels in, you learn this technique where if you start doing the charge up dash attack and you cancel it midway through, you'll do like a little mini hop on the spot.
Oh, that's sort of like Crazy Taxi or something. Something a bit like that.
And you can then do that again in midair and get like a second jump. So you do get into these bits where it's like almost, it's kind of almost a bit of a neon white kind of thing of like making you do stuff that is like traditionally these like weird speed running techniques.
Yeah.
But it kind of builds them into sort of the flow of the game to like, it sort of like makes you do them to progress the game.
Right.
So it's like someone who's gotten really into doing that kind of stuff and really loves it and is like, hey, what if this mechanic in another game, like in Super Mario Odyssey or whatever, you can do that kind of stuff.
Throwing
the cap in the air. You see people do all these things where they're kind of like breaking the game.
Yeah.
What if that was just like an actual mechanic that you like had to use to, to further your progress?
Because early on it's more like there's a little bump, so if you dash off the bump then you can get up onto these, like there's a level where you're in and this is what I didn't like about it, Mario's house. So it's a fat little guy with a mustache called Mario.
You're a little you're a little. What's taxi
that related to?
I don't know, and that's why I didn't like it.
Povich?
It's too abstract.
Yeah, he's telling you that you're the father.
But
you're
the dad.
Yeah. So he's like your little you don't talk. He's kind of like guiding you.
Yes.
The writing's like fine for what it is. Don't super love it. It's like there's there's like an evil villain called Alien Mosk who's like making all these pump and gas all over the world. And because you're like
his company's called Tosla.
Yeah.
Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand now. Yep. For a second, I was like, oh, I don't like that name. But, I see.
Yeah.
Like, right.
Because you're a little wind-up car.
They're making fun of a different thing.
Yeah.
The taxi's got a little, like a crank on it. Yep. So because you're a little mechanical wind-up car, you're like immune to his, you know, what he's doing. So it's up to you to go around and get gears in.
Yes.
In the levels, which are then opening up other doorways and all that kind of stuff.
Just to go back for a second. So does this feel like you're controlling a driving game more than a platformer? And
pretty
what
much,
perspective is this from?
It's sort of like third person, like, if you were in like the third person camera of like a GTA or something like that.
Okay, so it's but not it's a like, little, it's, I was imagining like an isometric thing for some
no,
reason.
No, 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 no. And you're like a little mini taxi. So okay. Like the levels are like, you go to Mario's house and you're like small and you're like going off little bumps on the ground and trying to get up onto the top of like cabinets to get coins and shit.
Controlling yeah. it like it's a driving game.
Well, yeah.
You are controlling it like it's a driving game, but it is very like, you know, like the turning circle when you're stationary.
Yeah.
You do have more freedom of movement. Like it is some, yep. it's halfway yeah. between like, you have like a really generous turning circle. So it's not like you're, you know, if you miss a bit, you're then having to do like a 3-point turn to get yourself right. back. It is very generous in the sense of like, it isn't too far away from like holding the accelerate trigger is just kind of like, not too far away from just if you were holding forward to run.
Well, so
in like a traditional 3D platformer.
I'm playing it on PC without a controller.
Right.
And so it is literally like you just hold forwards to go forwards and you press space to dash and,
right.
you know.
Right.
And it like controls really, really well. It's like super arcadey and it looks super Nintendo 64-y. Like everything's bright. Like I never really played any of those games because I never had a 64, but like it's very like a memory or like perception of a Banjo-Kazooie or something,
yeah.
but then cool. upped. Like the grass is fluoro green, not just green. Like it's really, it's like all the, that mind map sort of stuff is like, the borders like flash hot pink, you know, like it's very
yeah. It reminds me of like kind of a bit cool. of like Sonic art direction yeah. as well in like yeah. those early levels have that like kind of green hill zone, but
sure.
like that real... Yeah, low polygon characters and then
yes.
like...
Does
yeah.
it have like the fog? Of a
no fog
game?
So far.
No, no fog.
Bullshit.
But then, yeah, the levels are kind of like... It's more going from room to room rather than looking out at a big, expansive open space.
Right.
But yeah, like, I don't know. Aesthetically, it's really cool. I never, like I said, I'd never played these games yep. of the time, but it is a really faithful recreation of it. And it's pretty fun to play. I've found it very kind of like sensorily overwhelming though. Like
it's,
it is so bright.
Right. Yeah.
The music's like off chops. All the fucking menus
yeah.
are like flashing. Like
it sounds like, I guess Croc didn't have that, but like I think as you mentioned Croc before.
Yeah, yeah.
That was very colorful and
it was
quite small little areas that you're doing platforming in, but
yeah.
it doesn't sound like it controls anything like
no,
that.
No, it's more like the controls are way more precise, but then just like even amp up the color palette even
right.
more.
Yeah. Okay. What I'm really enjoying about it is that I find that this style of game is like is my like real like wheelhouse of that age. Like that's the like probably like the high watermark of like nostalgia for me.
Right.
And I kind of feel like anytime there's like a modern take on them, for the most part, they just don't really click with me.
Yeah.
And I feel like you see these pop up on Steam all the time, and I feel like they don't really connect with a lot of people because they kind of are doing them a bit too like one for one in a lot of cases. And what I really like about this is that it's I kind of saw it advertised and thought, oh, it looks cool, so I'll go in, but I feel like this will probably be like underwhelming in the same way. But they are doing enough of their own spin on it, like just even the sheer fact of like your character isn't like a knockoff of Banjo. It's like
right.
he's a little taxi and he controls differently, and the level structure is very different than just like he is big. Here's Big Swamp World.
Yeah, that was
Here's
ukulele,
Big Beach
right?
World. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it
yes. just,
and it didn't yeah. really land in that same way. So I really respect the like the taking of the bare bones and the aesthetics and like some of the mechanics and the feel of it, but then also like yeah, making their own thing out of it, like
yeah.
kind of making their own format with it, I think is really cool.
I think the gameplay of it is fantastic. Mm. It's really fun. It just controls perfectly for what they're trying to do.
And that, yeah, cool. I got into a bit where I was having to, it took me ages to get my head around that, like doing the jump by like cancelling the dash thing.
Mm.
And there was this, just these like series of like platforms that I had to get up that were like looping their way around the walls of a room. And it really did, you know, that like you fall off and then you're going all the way back up again. And it just totally reminded me of like that was like playing a game like that when you were 12, and it would have kind of some little fidgety platforming bits that you had to get pretty precise with, and you weren't dying over and over again, but you were just like having to like work your way back up that mountain and just
right.
like sitting there and just trying to do the one little platforming thing for, kind of a ridiculous amount of time. Like it, I kind of really like that it's hitting all that kind of stuff. And like,
right.
Yeah, I like the zipping around as a little taxi. It's cute. It's just even the decision to be like, we're going to do an homage to this style of game, but it's going to control quite differently.
Right.
I think is pretty bold. And like, you can just tell there would have had to be so much testing in like getting those mechanics to, you know, really click. And like, if this was a game that felt a bit more like you were actually driving a car,
yeah,
it just would not be fun to play. But it's like the first kind of like biggish level that you get set loose in, and a lot of it is kind of like zooming around and trying to find the little bit that you're meant to go in,
yeah,
that leads you to,
yeah,
another bit, or like someone that you talk to that asks you to go and collect like 8 of something. Mm. Even just kind of like hooning around is fun. It feels, yeah, like really fluid.
Obviously completely different, but it's making me think of something like Rocket League where like,
yeah,
right,
it doesn't control like a car and you can jump, but mm-hmm, it does the car stuff to make the movement fun.
Right, right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's cool. And they've got like a little Discord going where they're like similar to something like Pizza Tower, where they're really interested in the people that are playing it and what they've got to say about it. And the one thing that is annoying me is like the little characters that walk around in each level, they've got like a little kind of circle around them, mm, that if you stop in that or if you just go into that, they'll talk to you. And fellas, if you're listening, here's my feedback.
Oh, yeah.
Once you've driven into that once, I don't need to have that text come up every time I drive past them again.
Right.
Maybe have a thing fill out the circle for a second, like Destiny holding a button where, right, like, you've got to deliberately park next,
yeah,
to it.
Or just
press a different button while you're in that radius. Yeah.
It becomes a bit,
button is a great idea to interact with a game.
Hey,
get this guy on the board of directors.
It does become a little bit, because a lot of it is the repetition of like you're zipping around these same areas again and again and again, and there's just, yeah, always the one guy in the same spot who, right, you're like, yeah, yeah, you're looking for the bin, I know. Especially when it's not even someone, yeah, who's giving you a quest, like it's a bit of like flavor text. Flavor, yeah.
I'm wearing pants today.
Yeah. I think my bit of feedback is change the entire tone of the writing in the characters. because it put me off the game. And so, yeah, I only played the demo. Like I said, gameplay is fantastic. It's really fun. I agree with Tommy. It is like an innovative way to approach doing a throwback game,
yeah,
but adding their own flavor. But I was kind of annoyed by, I guess, the aesthetic of the storytelling stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Alien Mosque, I could take or leave, honestly. But yeah, it's, I mean, all that stuff is like, it's pretty minute. Like, there's no cutscene or any. There's
right,
there's not really any setup to like, you just are dropped in this and you go and talk to Mario and he's like, hey, I need you to go get these gears. I need you to do this. So it is, I mean, it's. That stuff is like, yeah, I'm the same. Not super to my taste, but it's not making
it,
you sit,
right,
through like 15-minute slabs of it or anything.
No,
like
that's
that.
True.
Sure.
And yeah, I reckon this is a really neat little, potentially like under the radar little experience, which, yeah, I'd recommend everyone check out. Especially if you have a nostalgia for that.
Yeah, yes.
For that time period,
that's
of games.
True.
Yeah, the demo is Steam only for now.
Right.
But yeah, there's a demo up there. Definitely at the very least worth checking out the demo.
Yeah.
It's cool. And shout out to these guys for making something that's pretty unique.
Yeah.
Having a unique thing on a throwback platformer.
Yeah.
Not common.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. Like I mean, that's the main thing for me is like, it's so refreshing to play something like this that isn't just like, oh, the character you're playing as is he's a cutesy little rabbit.
Even, yeah, and he's even Penny's big breakaway lately where it was like, yeah, and she's like a yo-yo and it's like Sonic but a yo-yo person or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, ah.
Right.
You know, but this is like, oh, that sounds like something that would have come along at that time where they're like, yeah, you're a little car in this one.
Yes,
like,
that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
It feels like it could have come out at the time and been different to everything else.
But
stylistically,
yeah,
it's sort of in the same realm.
It,
yeah.
Like, it's not doing a throwback in like, and we've remade your favorite. And like, when you play it, you're like, ah,
yes,
I've played this.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like a late 64. Like, it, cool, came out, mm, in the dying days of it. No one really played it because everyone was moving on. You know,
right,
what I mean? Like,
yeah,
buried gem, but
right,
yeah, Yellow Taxi goes vroom.
Yes.
It really does sound like you've forgotten the name of this game.
Well, even when I was like looking it up to get it, a couple of times I'd put in Yellow Cab goes vroom and it'd be like, I think you mean,
I feel like I typed in Big Yellow Taxi multiple times, and it's a great song.
Well, we're reviewing different
they
things.
Paved Paradise and put up a parking, yeah, lot.
Oh yeah. Well, is that going to do us for another week?
What's you've written one more thing on our little one more whiteboard thing.
Oh yeah, I mean I could save it for next week, or I could talk about it now.
Let's talk about it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a game I bought in Japan called Bakaru Mameda. The actual name of it is way longer.
Okay. Oh,
and
okay.
I'm going to say it completely wrong.
Yep.
But would you like me?
Mameda goes vroom.
Would you like me to have a go of it?
Yeah, let's. All yes. Right. Just so everyone can look it up.
Yep.
You could type it into Google and then get Google to pronounce it.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Push the little, the what do you call it?
Speaker?
Like a speaker. Yeah, that's it.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm going
to ask, what's the opposite of a microphone?
a black hole, I guess.
I'm going to have a pun.
Maxi, what's the opposite of a phone?
Maxi right? ear.
I guess. Is it like a pen? Not really.
A pen's not the opposite of a phone.
Rather than talk, like a telegram machine.
Well,
maybe.
No, something that's. I mean, the phone's helping you communicate. So what's the? What's something that impedes your ability to communicate? A brick wall,
a ball gag.
Yeah.
A maxi ball gag, which I have several of at home.
Yes.
I've only got the minis.
Yeah. Well, brother, you got to get a bigger mouth.
Yeah. You can hear most of what I'm still squealing.
Okay, I'm going to have a crack at pronouncing this. Otogi Katsugeki Mameda no Bakaru.
This is from
Oracle
the
Saitaru no Sainan.
That's a fucking long name.
That's
remember
a long
like
ass
10
name.
Minutes ago, he's like, I was saying Shibuya wrong. But let me have a crack at this.
So this is a Switch game that was developed by Goodfeel, who made the recent Princess Peach Showtime. Mm. They also made the last couple of Yoshi games, the like craft game and the wool one.
Yep.
The
Kirby
Canvas
Epic
Curse?
Epic oh, Yarn, Epic. Yes. I think was them. So sort of they are independent, but they're kind of they mostly do like second party Nintendo stuff.
Yep.
So this is an original IP that they've come up with, and it was only released in Japan. It came out at the end of last year. It is so. Have you ever played any of the Mystical Ninja games?
Oh, I haven't, but I know of them. But
yeah.
Very quickly, do you know what it translates to, the title?
Not really.
Just because I know people are going to listen to this and be like, "Well, I have no idea what this."
Yeah.
Well, there is no. There's no, like, it's not written in English, like, on the box anywhere. Let me see if, I'll put it into Google Translate and see if I can get a...
Let's have a crack.
Yeah.
I'd love to know what's going on under the hood.
Yeah.
I'm a big engine watcher.
But no, like, yes, Tommy's right, like, there is no English version of the game.
No, there's no English version, but just like, well, yeah, you're right. This
but even like trying to... So trying to find this on the shelf in a shop, I couldn't. Like the spine is in Japanese, like the title is like written out in Japanese.
Yeah.
And then just being like, well, I don't know what section of the shelf to go to because I don't know what is the what part of the alphabet the start of this title. So I had to just look this game up and then go onto Google Images and then just go up to the counter and just like show it to the guy and he's like, "Oh yeah."
Yep.
Let's see. Let's Japanese to English.
If possible.
No, it's not possible.
I don't know if the internet's come this far yet.
No, it's not possible.
It just doesn't mean anything in English?
Well, I'm copy-pasting it from the review and then it's just putting it because it's already written it out in English characters.
Okay. Right.
Well, whatever. So people can find it on Wikipedia by looking at them as well.
Yeah.
It's something like... So basically you're a... You're a tanuki who gets turned into a little boy, and I think Bakaru is the character's name. So it's something about like him into boy, and then it's
great.
You're going around Japan, and there's basically like this kind of like big evil yokai thing that has turned everyone in Japan into like an evil spirit, and you go around the levels that are different, like prefectures in Japan, like different little regions,
little counties, yeah,
and the like actual, you know, they are like the real places in Japan. So your world map is like actual Japan,
right?
And you're kind of traveling up through all the different little regions, and it is so the Mystical Ninja games. Mm. It's the guy who worked on them he started Good Feel. So it's like a bit of a throwback kind of thing to those
spiritual
games.
Spiritual successor kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's basically very light platforming, self-contained little Super Mario 3D world. Sorry to reference that game so many times in this episode.
Hey,
style of level.
Where you just died, so
yeah,
it makes sense. It's on your mind.
You've got like an end point of the level that's like a this big drum that's like encased in a sort of force field thing that you've got to break by finding three lamps in the level and like smashing them to kind of wear down the force field. And you're running around. You got your jump. You've got your attacking by using the left and right triggers. You've got like a little paddle in each hand.
Mm-hmm.
What are they called? The big drums that they have. The sticks that you hit them with.
Oh, okay.
The big like thick.
Yeah. I don't know.
Whatever they're called.
Drumsticks.
Drumsticks. You're one of them in each hand. Yeah. You're using your triggers are your left and right hand, and then you can hit them both for like a big double attack and you can charge it up.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
It's all pretty standard stuff. Platforming, beat 'em up kind of stuff.
This was like 3D isometric, right? Can you say that? Or
just third person.
Just third person.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
You're unlocking these new abilities that you can transform into that are like... There's one of them that shrinks you down that you're using for like puzzles where you'll get to little gate that you can't go under.
Mm-hmm.
But then the rest of them are just like, you know, just make you a bit more powerful or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like you've got like a kind of mech sort of one.
Ooh.
And it's really fun. It's, you know, Good Feel are pretty good at making games that are not super challenging but just have such a strong aesthetic and are, you know, just fun to sort of explore. It is really weird that this has not been localized at all because it is very Japanese in the sense of like it's about a lot of like, you know, it's the actual regions of Japan and it's sort of like
culturally
based
Japanese
around this
thing.
Like old sort of like festival-y kind of stuff that's like part of their culture and history and everything.
I think we could handle that.
Yeah,
it's
kind
of the best. It's the thing I'm enjoying the most about it. Like it's not, you know, you could understand if this came out in 1996, like something like this wouldn't have been localized because they would have thought, oh, people just won't understand this at all.
Right.
But in like now, people love this kind of, it's not like
that's the appeal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a setting, it's a backdrop. It's not like a story driven thing where you're having to do things.
You need the cultural context.
Yeah. It's cool. It's like a neat backdrop to it. I don't quite know why they haven't localized it.
Well,
but
we were able to figure out where Yoshi's Woolly World was.
Yeah.
So this would be easier.
But it's
so you're playing like a legit copy from like a retail copy from the store. How easy is it to understand? Like to
really
how to
easy.
Play?
There's like an opening cutscene thing, and then there's like really the only bits of like not really knowing what's going on have been there's like a little store guy who you can't read the descriptions of what he's selling, but you can figure it out. It's
right.
Like, oh, that's a cookie shaped like a heart. I reckon that's going to give me some...
Eat it and just die.
Just been buying stuff and then using it and seeing what happens.
Yeah.
So it's super easy because it's just even like the tutorial at the start, it's all got visuals there and it's like,
right.
You know, you can just see the like X button. It's like, all right, well, this is teaching me what the X button does.
Yep.
It's it's really easy to get around. So if you can, you can buy it on like PlayAsia or whatever, or if you've got the means to get on the Japanese e-store and get a copy, I'd recommend it. If you like stuff that Good Feel have made in the past, if you like this kind of, 3D platformer, have a look at the trailer. And if you like the look of that, like stylistically, it just looks so great. It looks like... Yeah, it looks like a, you know, these guys spend a lot of their time doing this kind of, you know, second party stuff for Nintendo. So it's no surprise that the aesthetic is like so bright and colorful and interesting.
Right.
Like it's it's really fun. It's really worth a look.
Bakeru Mameda?
Yeah.
That's okay. At least part of the title.
Give it a crack. Good Feel Games,
that's
right?
That's the one bit that's in English on the box and then all the rest of it is in Japanese text. But if you Google Bakeru Mamadi, you'll be able to find it on PlayAsia or a link to the Japanese e-store. But it's cool. I really don't know why they have not... Yeah. There's like voice acting in it and stuff, but even just doing the most minimal text translation... I should say there is a fan translation out somewhere that some people have made.
Right.
But yeah, it's fun. It's cool.
Sick.
It's
it sounds good.
Yeah. It's a neat little and like yeah, going around the actual like the eighth level or something is Okinawa. Which
yeah, right.
I just went like you it's funny, like you're kind of working your way up the length of Japan and then all of a sudden because Okinawa is like an island off the south coast.
Yeah, yeah.
You just like all of a sudden the little thing on the map goes and you're like, oh, I don't know why I've gone all the way back down onto here, but all right, here we go.
Yeah.
But yeah, fun game.
Nice.
Worth checking out if that sort of stuff tickles you in any way.
Not for me, I don't think. Sounds like a video game. That's baby stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just books for me.
Well, you know, I'm too scared to engage with the Year of Shadow, so...
yeah.
That's where I'm
spending my time. I don't play video games. That's for children. I read books like a man. Aragorn's great.
I don't play video games. Video games play me.
Oh, ooh, shit.
Yeah.
Shit. That shouldn't happen. Could go to a doctor.
I will have to immediately go see a doctor, and that is why we're wrapping up the episode here.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Filthycasuals.com.au for links to everything that we've got going on. Get on the Patreon if you enjoy getting the show for free and you'd like to support it.
Yeah.
You can do that, and we really appreciate it.
We certainly do, and we'll talk about maybe not books, but other things like movies, other things for babies that we watch, movies and TV shows.
Get on there, get that extra show every week.
Yeah.
Another hour plus of content in the inbox. Come and see us live in Melbourne over the next two Sundays.
First show was so much fun.
Yep.
Yeah, everyone who was there will be coming back, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Melanie Bracewell, I guess, for the next show. That'll be a ripper.
Check all that stuff out, guys. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you next week. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
I'm not surviving, I'm thriving. This is my year, Sonic. I hope that's what he sounds like.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.